Hello. It's not Friday. It's Saturday morning. My name is Alan O'Donoghue, techno teacher on Twitter, TEKNO teacher. And this is a podcast that I record that goes out usually on a Friday. And I almost always record these podcasts on a Friday, except, well, it's been a bit of an odd week. And that's why it's Saturday. Anyway, so this is a podcast that I record where I share and talk and interview people, but it's basically all around teaching computing. So I've been teaching computing in my school, where I've been 14 years, but I've been teaching computing for about the last 5 or 6 years. And we started at GCSE computing 3 years ago, I think it was. And I'm now on my third or fourth GCSE computing class. And in this podcast, it's not really so much about the, hey, look at me, I'm amazing, because it's more of the, oh, well, I tried this week and this didn't quite work out, but next time. So it's a little bit like a fly on the wall documentary, but I don't know, this is more of an ear on the wall. So it's been a really odd week this week because we found out, I heard last week that the assistant head teacher at our school, Mark Greenwood, had died suddenly on the Monday night. And I found out on the Tuesday, and that came as a real shock because I've known Mark for about 20 years. As well as being the assistant head teacher at our school, he was also a computing teacher. He was going to be teaching a GCSE computing class this September. And it's just completely floored us all. He was only 51. We didn't expect it was going to happen. He hadn't been ill. It just suddenly died, and they think it was a blood clot that caused a problem with his heart. So I've never worked at a school where a teacher's died on this in service, and it's been a very odd atmosphere in school this week. Monday was the bank holiday, so we were all back in school on Tuesday, and we were telling the news to the children, and you could see, it a lot of the children found out over the Easter holidays, but still, it's a very very different atmosphere in school this week. We're a Catholic school, so on Wednesday we suspended lessons for a couple of hours, and we had a whole school mass, which was very touching. And then next week on Monday, we've got this funeral. The one thing that a lot of people have been saying is about, it was very clear how he was dedicated to the job, but at the same time, he was a very clearly committed family member as well. He used to talk about how much his wife and his children and how important they were to him in his life. But it certainly makes you stop and wonder in your own life what's important. And clearly, I've been doing quite a lot of stuff recently, events and CPD courses for teachers, and it's made me wonder, have I been the kind of father and husband and those kind of things that I should have been doing? So, yeah, it knocked us quite a bit, that. Now, this podcast, I lose count, but I've recorded around about 200 episodes. It might be somewhere, maybe right around about 250. And I get some very kind comments from people, sometimes through Twitter and emails, where people have said that they've listened to the podcast and they found certain things were helpful or what. And there's one teacher, Darren Christie, and he listens to this often, and he's helped me write a listener survey. So what I'd like you to do, I'm hoping that this isn't just the first one that you've listened to, and that what you might do is you go and fill in the listener survey. There's about five questions, and it asks little things like, is this the first time you've listened to it, or do you listen to quite a few? What do you think are the strengths of the podcast? What do you think are the things that could be improved? And what I'll do in a little while, I'll tweet a couple of links to the listener survey. And thank you very much to Darren for doing that for me. And if you're at a computer now, you could just go to it straight away by typing in, it's tinyurl.com/techno, that's TEKNO, 14141414. So it's techno1414 after the tinyurl.com. It's never as easy to give out URLs by voice as it is to actually send them to somebody in a tweet or an email. Now, so I said it's been an odd week being back at school this week. I've had two lessons with my GCSE computing class that are in the year 11 class, And what I'd done is over the Easter holidays, I had marked all of their projects, and there's some very clear guidelines about the kind of feedback that I'm allowed to give back to the class. So, for example, I'm not allowed to tell them what scores that they got for their coursework. I'm not allowed to give them nods or winks or those kind of things. But I am allowed to give generalized feedback, and that's what I did on the first lesson we had, which was on the Tuesday. I'd made some notes while I'd marked their projects, and they were the kind of things like, for example, so they've completed two coursework projects. One was a programming assignment, and the one that I'd selected for all the class was it was around a dice, a random number, characters in a game. I can't go into too much detail, but if you've looked at the assignment, you'll know which one I'm talking about. And there's another assignment which is all it's based around. It's an investigation assignment. The one I've gone for, it's called low-level programming, and we get to do things like look at a model, which is called a little man computer, and they had to investigate by typing things in to see what would happen, compile it, what happens after compiling, and then they would have to try and solve some problems using assembly code. So I've marked all of them, and generally fairly happy with the responses from the students. And one thing I've said quite a lot is I've got 26 children in this class, and some of them their target grades are A's and A stars, and there's other children who, if they get manage to get a D grade, then that'll feel like a massive achievement. So some of the feedback that I gave, it's quite difficult to give generalized feedback because you want to say to some children, well, if you're on like an A to get an A star, you'd have to do this. But at the same time, there's children sat there in the class kind of looking at me like they haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. For example, when they use functions, if they're able to have custom functions where they've developed their own function that, to optimize their coded solution, they're able to get extra credit for that. But I could tell even as I started mentioning that there was some children in the class where I was just getting a glazed over look from. But the things I was saying to them were, for example, variable names. So they've all used variables in their solution to the problem, but they hadn't clearly identified. Well, some had, but they not all of the class had clearly identified. This is a variable that I'm going to use. This is the data type it's going to be, and this is why I'm going to use it. So that was one thing that I mentioned to them. Then the other thing is, while a lot of the class had evaluated different aspects of their solutions, their evaluations were quite weak and shallow. They were sort of like, well, yeah, it does what it's supposed to do. But I pushed them to go back and reconsider and look, because their evaluations really should reflect back at their analysis of the problem. So if they said, if it was something that had to ask you what your age was, and then it had to add some sort of a multiplier to your age, and then it had to save that in a text file, I wanted them in their evaluation to go back and look at the analysis and comment on how successful they were in terms of meeting that criteria. And again, even the development and testing. So some of them had done testing tables. No, all of them had done testing tables, but they hadn't tested all of the requirements. They'd only tested what they thought were the main requirements. And so they were the kind of things. So I spent a few minutes in the lesson. I wrote a couple of things on the board, variable names, evaluations, development and testing, and then said to them, right now, go back to your places on your own, find areas where you can improve, and then they're going to submit them to me again. So we've got one more lesson of that next week. I know I'm cutting it close because I need to get all those marks sent off to the examiner by the 15th of May. Now, just to mention, this year I've been doing a lot of CPD courses for teachers all over the country, really. I've got some coming up in Cumbria, been in London, Devon, Birmingham, Manchester, Hull, and I've got quite a few courses still listed for the summer, and some of them have actually filled up now. We've got more people on them than, well, they're full. But there are some spaces on some of the courses that I'm doing. If you've not seen a list of them, they're actually on, you can go on my blog, which is teachcomputing.wordpress.com, and you'll see there's a blog post there where I've listed them. And I've just realized I've listed a few more courses this week and I've not put them onto there, so I'll have to update that. A quick way of getting to that is to go to tinyurl.com/teachcomputingcpd, and that'll take you straight to that blog post. Now, some people had been emailing me saying that they wanted to get on the courses, but it was just they were too far away. Like, so we lived in Gloucester and London was too hard to get to. So a few months ago, I started doing online courses in the evening, and I've been tweaking them. I mean, one of the nice things about that is that, like, I'm on a development cycle where we started with the first course, and I've done a lot of evaluation and feedback based around those, and I've managed to tweak them in a way that people are getting a happier experience. One of the things I really liked about the feedback was one, Nicola made a comment in her evaluation. She said it was the best CPD session she'd ever done in her pajamas before, because it take place in the evening. Now, it may have been the only CPD session she ever did in her pajamas. So I don't know how, you know, okay. So also talk about the courses. Maybe I misjudged things a little bit. I thought that this year people would be wanting a lot more courses all about teaching GCSE computing. So the main focus of mine in our school in Preston had been around GCSE. And it seems, well, I was probably a little bit too presumptuous, and there's still a lot of people who need a lot of support with Key Stage 3. So we're going to be listing some more Key Stage 3 focused courses during the summer. Things that, like, generalized, like, what is computing? How do you introduce it into your curriculum? But then the other one is what a lot of teachers have said, they need the support with understanding text-based programming and how to go about that. So look out or listen out for more of those coming up in June and July. It's been the Easter holidays has been unusual because it wasn't just the sad news of Mark Greenwood's death, but also my wife had said, Alan, no events, nothing over the Easter holidays. You're just staying at home and having 2 weeks off. So that's what I did. But I was sat on my hands trying to relax. And I found the best way for me to relax is to keep busy. So one of the things I've been doing is I've been on eBay buying lots of kit to expand the... I've got a number of Raspberry Pis and keyboards and things that people have donated or given to me over time. And I went out and I bought a lot of screens from office clear outs and refurbishments. So for not very much money, for about £100 now, I've got about 20 to 25 screens. Some of them I need to test. So that's going to take me another few evenings to go through and test them all. But I've been able to take them out to run events. So for example, on the 29th of March, I think that was the date, a few of us went down to Warwick, and there's an academy going to be opening up there, and they wanted to run an event for 80 of their students that are going to be joining their academy in September. It's one of these 14 to 19 academies. And we ran an event down there, so we were using the Mozilla Hackasaurus and WebMaker tools. We ran some Raspberry Pi workshops. We had some games development workshops. With Raspberry Pi, we were doing things like we were hacking Minecraft using Craig Richardson's materials and David Whale's Python flashcards. And I also brought with me Simon Monk's Monk Makes Electronics Kits, which I've been using quite a lot recently. That's, you get a breadboard and you get some components and you can plug them into your Raspberry Pi. And there's like LEDs that you can make them flash different colors. You can build your own email system where you press a button and it sends an email. There's, what was the other one? Oh, yes. So there's ones you can interact with Twitter and electronic components. The great thing about those kits, they're not very easy. They're very, very abstract when you look at them. But children just seem to love the challenge of, you know, working through them and doing them on their own. So I've acquired a lot more of those kits now, which I'm taking around to events. So there's a couple of schools have been in touch as well. They want like a particular activity day to happen on a Saturday or something. So that's what's happening over June and July. Now, this week, it was yesterday actually, Friday, I had my year nine. I don't know whether to call them an ICT class or a computing class. So I suppose at some point we're just going to call them all computing classes from now on. So I have one class in year nine, and I feel a little bit blessed this year because it's the extension set. So we have seven sets in year nine, and they're the top set. And One of the nice things, I mean, this class, they're very eager and enthusiastic, which is great. They get a little bit too excited sometimes, so they need calming down. And this year we started. I thought that they should have already had a good grasp of HTML and CSS, but I suppose with them learning ICT one lesson a week, some things that they learned from last year just hadn't really sunk in. So at the beginning of the year, we started looking back at coding web pages using HTML and CSS. What I really wanted to do was I wanted to introduce some JavaScript to them, but I realized very soon that it was too steep a hill to climb at the beginning. So from September through to about Christmas, we started off looking back again at the structure of tags and HTML and what is a tag and what's the format, and it's this is not programming as such. This is what we call markup. And then it was very clear after a bit that just basic text pages weren't really going to grab their interest and enthusiasm. So we then moved into looking at how we could apply CSS to the pages that they'd coded to improve and change the appearance of them. And then it was at that point then where we started to dip into looking at using JavaScript. And the result, we sort of finished this around about January, February, where they'd created fan pages that had interactive JavaScript elements onto their pages. Now, with JavaScript, I wouldn't in any way say I'm any kind of an expert. I figured out how to do a few little things, and we found a few little modules of code that if you put this into your page, you can get it so it'll, if you type in an answer to a question, it'll come back with a certain response, or you can have other interactive elements on the page. And we were using the W3 Schools page as our main resource and reference. And on there are lots of little blocks of JavaScript that you can try and model in a browser and then add it into your own page. So I've been completely honest, I did find we got so far in with JavaScript at a point I felt like some of the children were being computed to death, and they needed to see some pictures of nice fluffy kittens. So we spent about 3 or 4 weeks on a little detour looking at using recording and editing sound using Audacity. So we went back and looked at some of the basic tools, the recording, the editing, cutting, splicing, fading, and other effects. And then at the end of that, then they all recorded their own audio clip, and that was just to give them a little bit of a break from having to think about computing. And then I would say for the last 8 or 9 weeks, we've gone back and we revisited something that they did in year. They had me in year 7, I think it was. Yeah, and we did that. The Python programming unit that I've written online, which says it's in the Computing at School resources section. It's called something like How to Teach Programming from Year 7, and it's all around designing and building an interactive maths game that has a little bit of artificial intelligence, so it responds to you based on what answers you give. So we went back as a refresher to look at that. But then we started looking at the random module in Python and doing a lot more maths with that. And I used the guessed a number, which is from Al Swigert's Invent with Python book. And I used that because you can actually teach a lot of the computing concepts through that, things like flow control, so sequence, selection, iteration. There's a lot of mathematical operators in use in there. And we got to a point after about two or three lessons where they were able to take the Invent with Python guessed a number game, and they were able to increase the difficulty, decrease the difficulty, make the game a little bit more random or less random. And also, they were able to add some of them in the class were able to add in at the beginning. You could actually choose what difficulty level you wanted to play the game in. So that was mainly the what I'm struggling to think straight this morning. That was mainly the what we've been doing so far with Python. And in our lesson on Friday, over the Easter holidays, I'd been looking a lot back at revisiting text-based adventures, or what you might call, what's it called? Interactive fiction. So you've got a story where you can choose what the outcome is going to be as the story goes on and as it develops, you get to make choices at various different stages. So when I was at the Mozilla Festival in October, it was during the half term, and if you can get there this October, I would highly recommend it. It usually takes place over a weekend, which is around about the October half-term holiday. And I went this year and I took my children with me, and there was lots of stuff happening. There was Raspberry Pis, there was web page development, there was a huge amount of things going on, and all of it completely relevant to computing in the classroom. And one of the workshops that I took part in when I was there was text-based adventure games using Twine. And I kept looking for an opportunity to use this with my classes. And yesterday, Friday, was the day when I brought Twine into the classroom. So over my Easter holidays, I'd been looking at text-based adventures, trying some of them out. And there was one I liked called My Father's Long, Long Legs. And you can just Google it and you'll find My Father's Long, Long Legs. And it's a text-based adventure game. But it actually links very nicely to some of the things that we did at the beginning of the year with Year 9, which was the HTML, CSS, and JavaScript, because it's got some interactive elements within the story. It's a browser-based adventure game, and it's not so, My Father's Long Long Legs is not so much of an adventure game. It's just a story where you get to choose different outcomes, or so it would seem. But it has sound and images in it as well, which creates a nice sense of atmosphere. So let me tell you a little bit about yesterday, a little bit more detail about yesterday's lesson. So at the beginning of the lesson, we'd not had a lesson for about 3 weeks because our first lesson was early in the week before we broke up for Easter. And then this was our first lesson, this Friday was our first lesson back after Easter. So it was actually probably about 3.5 weeks since I'd seen the class. So I started by showing them Dragon Realm, which is one of the chapters from Al Swigert's Invent with Python book, which is available at inventwithpython.com. So I showed them the game, and I asked them to work in pairs as driver and navigator. And I said, today we're going to try 2-minute intervals, sorry. So one person had to tell the other person what to type. No, actually, I saved a bit of time. I showed them the source code, gave them the source code so they could just copy and paste that straight into their editor. So they pasted it in, and then I gave them a few challenges, which was to make the game easier, to make the game more difficult, and then to change the genre of the game. So Dragon Realm, it says you're in a cave, do you go left or right? Do you kill the dragon or not? And you get to choose. So every 2 minutes, so we had driver and navigator, so they're working in pairs. So the navigator saying to the driver, change this bit over here, add this in, change that. And then every 2 minutes, I had a little timer on my phone, I'd get them to swap over. So after we'd done this 4 times, I then asked all the drivers to stand up. And then I asked the drivers to move one space around the classroom. So they went to the next pair. And then I said, now, drivers, you're going to test out this game that they've developed. And you're then going to give them some feedback. You're going to tell them what you liked about it. And if there was things you didn't like about it, you're not going to say, I thought that was rubbish. You're going to say, now, here's one way I think you could improve your game. So we iterated that 3 times. So the drivers went to another person, another pair, and to another pair. And then after we'd done that 3 times, the drivers then had to return back to their original navigator, and they had to then relate back to their navigator the things that they'd seen as they went on their journey around the classroom. So that was the first sort of 15, 20 minutes of the lesson. Then I wanted to show them My Father's Long, Long Legs, the story. So to create a little bit of atmosphere, I closed all the blinds in the room, turned the lights off, and I started talking quietly and saying I found this story online. And so I asked them all on their own without speaking to read it and follow through. Now, I think it takes about 10 or 15 minutes to get through to the end of My Father's Long, Long Legs. but I only gave him about 2 minutes or so, and then I asked them all to stop and turn their screens off, and I asked them to predict what do you think is going to happen at the end, and some of them came up with some very imaginative endings that maybe might the author might want to consider. But then I said to them, right, well, for homework, I'm going to ask you to finish off reading it. And I said, and here's another area where there's a lot of other stories. I want you to choose another one. And then in your homework books, I want you to write a review of My Father's Long, Long Legs and the other story that you've chosen. And in our lesson on Tuesday, I want you to be prepared to present your reviews to the rest of the class. And they said, now let's go and have a look at how it has My Father's Long, Long Legs been created. So I did a little demonstration using twine. Now, if you're going to look at twine, there's a site called twinery.org. And when you get to Twinery, you can download the software onto your computer. But I decided on Friday to use the 2.0 version, which actually runs in your browser. Now, there's pros and cons. If you're running it in your browser and your browser crashes, or you close your window down by mistake, you effectively lose everything you've just done. But you can save it and archive it at stages so that it will then download the source code to your computer. And what you actually get is you actually get a HTML page. Ah, so you get the HTML. You could actually go in then, once you know some CSS and JavaScript and HTML, you could actually go in afterwards and start changing it. Now, it is there is you'd have to do a little bit of deciphering when you look at that. But anyway, I'm just watching the time. I'm thinking about to run out of time for this podcast. So some of the links to the things I've just been talking about are on my year nine class. We have a Google document where I share with them all the links that we use. So I'll speak a little bit more slowly now to give you a chance to absorb the link. So it's tinyurl.com. That's all of my links start with that. And it's slash herbal gerbil. So it's herbal, HERBAL, gerbil, GERBIL. Don't ask me why it's called that. I just asked some children in the class to come up with some silly words we can stick together, and it would have to be something memorable. So that's why we've got herbal gerbil. My year 11s have been a little bit more adventurous. We've got things like my sausage fest, sausage rubber. Year 11 seem a little bit obsessed about the word sausage, and year 7s we've got hairy biscuits and turnip biscuits. That's what they chose. Now, you've been listening to me, Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of computing at Our Lady's Catholic High School in Preston. Lots of the things I find and I share are on my Twitter page. So you can go to Twitter, and I'm Techno Teacher, TEKNO Teacher. I also have a blog that's at teachcomputing.wordpress.com. I've mentioned all of the courses that I'm doing online. You can find links to those on my blog. And please, please, please fill in the listener survey. And if you can, tweet it or retweet it and ask other people to fill in the survey, because the summer is coming up, and maybe over the summer I can start to think about how I can adapt this podcast just to make it a little bit more suitable for you, the listener. I do try to incorporate interviews into the survey, but it's just this week with all the things that have been going on, that's just not happened this week. So thank you very much for listening, and I nearly always say, if you're not a member of Computing at School, it's a free organization to join. Then you really should be. We've got about 11,000 members now, over 11,000 when I looked the other day. Thank you. And just to remind you, the URL for the listener survey, it's tinyurl.com/techno, that's TEKNO, 1414, that's 1414. Techno 1414. Thank you and goodbye.